Kellen Binder and Robert Young's rejoining you from Schoolcraft, Michigan, where at the half, the Constantine Falcons own a 22-21 lead over Schoolcraft. Very smash-mouth, hard-fought battle in this first half. Couple of miscues for both football teams, but if you're Terry Haas, take us into the Schoolcraft locker room and talk about what these guys said to each other going into the half with a one-point deficit.
Well, if I'm Coach Haas, the first thing I'm telling my defense is that Constantine was not throwing the ball at all tonight. They tried to do it once, and we got them. The thing I'm interested in is if I'm Coach Haas, one, are my seniors going to step up and lead? And number two, are we going to execute and do what it needs, what we need as a team to win the football game? Are we down a point? Absolutely. But you know what? There's 24 minutes left in this game, so make it right.
And Sean Griffith on the other sideline is, I think, saying, you know, we don't have a kicking game. We don't have a passing game. Going strictly on the run to have a one-point lead, I'm feeling grateful but also a little bit scared because you're really relying very heavily on the defense. And of course, you know, the running game is going to be successful. That's a given with what they're able to do with the wing T. But I think he's putting an awful lot of pressure on his defense with this one-point lead.
Absolutely. He's probably charged the defense and said, we need you guys. He's passed the ball on us. They've done a few different things to us. And we've given them 21 points. And on the other side of that, I'm looking at my offense and saying, we need to execute, we need to fake, we need to cradle the ball well, we need to keep them from figuring out who's got the ball. That's not only misdirection, but it's also secrecy. We don't want them to see who's got the ball, so we need to execute, we need to fake, and we need to do everything well since we don't have a passing game.
Brennan Vaughn and the Schoolcraft Eagles will get set to kick things off. You mentioned kind of the strategy in that first half by Sean Griffith. He won the coin toss, selected to defer to the second half. And so with the one-point lead,
absolutely,
they will get the ball back.
Absolutely.
Here in the second half.
He's got a point lead, and if he gets 7 or 8, you can extend it to an 8 or 9-point lead.
So here we go. The kick is away. And getting it at about the 15-yard line. Looks like Lopez scurries across the 25 to about the 27-yard line. So again, decent field position for Constantine to open the second half.
If I'm both coaches tonight, the one thing I can kind of hang my hat on is I haven't had to endure horrible field position except for the one time Constantine was backed up at their 1-yard line. But we know how that ended in a 97-yard touchdown scamper.
The traditional wing T look behind the quarterback. And they run it right up the gut. Nick West under center. They've been kind of switching between the senior Nick West and the sophomore Matt Hosbrook. That time, Andres Montoya with the run. And Nick Kakmakian on the stop for Schoolcraft.
Different look here now for the Falcons. They are maybe using a little clock, and instead of going to their wristbands, West went over to the sideline and got the play directly from Coach Griffith.
Already winding nearly a minute down in this first quarter. We've seen one play, second down and 9. Nick West takes the handoff, keeps it, and is immediately stopped at the 30-yard line. It looked like that's what they were trying to run, but it was just read well by Schoolcraft.
Yeah, some wing T variations will send the quarterback around the end. What Coach Griffith likes to do is to send his quarterback inside the end, keeps the ball hidden and obscured from the linebackers. But like you said, the Schoolcraft defense was ready and equal to the task.
Third down and 8 coming up from the Constantine 30-yard line. The Falcons up 22-21, trying to make a statement here to open the second half, and they got a third down and 8, and they're going to be short as West hands the ball off to Justin Hall. His first carry of the second half goes for just a couple of yards. They're going to be about 5 yards shy of that first down, and I'm going to guess decent field position coming up here for Schoolcraft from the Constantine 35-yard line. That's where they mark it, so he's going to be standing at about the 30 to kick this away. We might even, I mean, at this point, I don't think we're going to see a fake. Not at all. Even though the kicking game has struggled for Constantine, they line up for the punt.
We have a flag from the back judge, and that's automatically delay of game. It took too much time.
Trying to burn some clock, but burning too much clock that time. 9:35 remaining, third quarter. And we're going to get a punt after we mark off 5 yards for delay of game on Constantine.
The back judge's responsibility when there is no play clock on the field is to keep the play clock on his wristwatch.
The punt from West is away, bouncing at the Schoolcraft 45-yard line, taking a Constantine bounce and down.
Luke Mullendorf and Taylor Reif there to make sure it doesn't bounce back for the Falcons. Like you said, Carolyn, excellent field position here for the Eagles, and it looks like it's going to be right at the Eagles' 35-yard line.
9:24 remaining, third quarter. First look at the Schoolcraft offense here in the second half. Tom Hurst with Nick Kakmaki behind him. Handoff goes up the middle and immediately stops. They'll give him no gain. Thought they might give him a loss on that play.
Andrew Kochenauer and Luke Mullendorf coming up from the linebacker spot there. Usually you get a gain on that. There was just nowhere to go.
Kakmaki again behind first. The handoff goes to Kakmaki, and he's got some room on that left side. Rumbles up to the 40-yard line. Got a good block on the left side and rode it to the 40-yard line. Gain of 5 will bring up a third down and 5.
Great block from Charlie Schultz there. Gets him an extra 2 or 3. And down 1, you want all the yards you can get. Now it's a third manageable here for the Eagles.
Yeah, give them 6, third down and 4 from the Schoolcraft 41-yard line. 2 receivers split to either side of Hurst. Kakmaki again on that left side sweeper. And he's got a first down and some more across the Constantine 45-yard line to the 44. And that's twice in a row that Kakmaki has really picked apart the defensive line of Constantine.
This time it was Blake Zimick, 5'9", 178, senior running back, with a huge block at the third level of the Constantine defense, and it results in a huge play in the first down for the home team.
4 minutes in, third quarter, first down and 10 for Schoolcraft. They send another one in motion. This time it's Charlie Schultz. He rides a block up to the 42, and there's a flag coming in after the play.
These are the ones you don't know about. It can be any range of fouls here.
Personal foul being whistled against Constantine, and yeah, it was well after the play was blown dead. Charlie Schultz powering his way up the middle of the field. They're going to mark it at the 41, but the penalty is going to give them 10 yards.
This personal foul could have been any range of things. I didn't see it myself, but what they'll get you for at the high school level is piling on and leading with the helmet. It's the second instance there is definitely unsafe. You're not only going to hurt yourself, but somebody else.
15 yards on the personal foul, and 15 free yards will bring Schoolcraft up into, well, into Constantine territory at the 27-yard line. And goes to Kaknecki. He slithers up the sideline and bumps out of bounds inside the 10-yard line. Nick Kaknecki really starting to read something on that defensive line of Constantine, and he likes what he sees because he's really picking them apart.
Absolutely. Kaknecki's got great speed, and you can't coach it, folks. He's very shifty, elusive. He made one cut to the outside and just turned it on.
Kaknecki, the senior running back, gives his team first down and goal at the 8-yard line. Spread a couple of receivers out to either side. Nelson Kaknecki in motion. They reverse it on the quarterback keeper. He's got all kinds of room into the end zone. Tom Hurst with the touchdown, Schoolcraft.
But what they did there, folks, is just like the previous two plays where they sent Kaknecki in motion from the right wing spot into that belly option. This time Hurst keeps it, and it's a naked bootleg, and there's nobody home. The Constantine defense reading incorrectly, and now the Eagles are right back into this game with the lead.
Sending the extra point, 27-22, the lead for Schoolcraft, 7:27 remaining third quarter. And look at this, Hurst under center, they're going for two. See if they send Kaknecki in motion. They dug over the middle, instead the pass is good to Kaknecki. And just like that, 29-22, and they're up by a touchdown, 7 points. That's really important here in the third quarter.
Absolutely. They went with the opposite motion there. This time it was Schultz in motion, and but Kaknecki just stepped up on a little short hook pattern, and Hurst found him wide open in the end zone for the 2 points.
7:27 remaining third quarter, and the home team back on top, 29-22, the lead for Schoolcraft over Constantine. And I think they learned a lot on that offensive drive. Of course, they scored, which is always the goal, but they started kind of mixing things up, and then as soon as you get Constantine's defense, you know, happy with what's going on, they throw an extra wrinkle in there, and then they even add the 2 points on.
Yeah. Schoolcraft's belly option tonight has been just as diverse as a wing T offense you'd want to have. They've ran the ball well to both sides. Hurst scores on the keeper, and then they score on the short pass for the 2 points. If your coach Haas tonight for the Eagles, you've got to be happy with what you've seen offensively.
Quarterback Tom Hurst scoring the touchdown with the legs. Nick Kaknecki adding the extra 2 points. And we're off and running with the booming kick. Andres Montoya with the run to the 23-yard line. There is a flag on the play. Multiple flags on the play. Holding whistled against Constantine. And when you weren't looking at super field position anyways, just over the 20-yard line, marching back is not in the plans for Sean Griffiths and the Constantine Falcons.
Now the block in the back there is going to hurt coaches from a young age, coach players, to never hit in the back. And they put names at the TV and rocket levels to help kind of coach that. Just a big-time mistake there by the Falcons.
Trailing 29-22. The block in the back going to mark them at their 9-yard line. Let's see what Griffith and the Falcons draw up here. Run it to the right side and through the defense. All kinds of running room for a foul. And Justin Powell, just like that, when they're backed up inside the 10-yard line, that's the danger of the senior running back and also the danger of we haven't heard from them in a while, mixing things up, and they were taking their eyes off them was the Schoolcraft defense.
As I mentioned earlier, much like a spread offense, the wing T is designed to be a big hitting home run offense. And like we saw there, everybody blocked correctly, everybody faked correctly, and it resulted in a big first down run for the Falcons.
46-yard gain now inside Schoolcraft territory at the 35. And they go left side this time to Andres Montoya, and he is dropped, and he is hobbling.
Falcons tried to go with the counter play again there, where the right halfback, he would jab step backwards and then take the handoff. But Dusty LeChance, 5'10", 188 senior, was having none of it this time for the Eagles.
No gain on the play. Second down and 10, 6:35 remaining in third quarter. Constantine on the legs of their horse. Justin Hall with new life on this offensive drive. They give it back to Hall. He tries to sidestep his way up the far sideline, and he is stuck after a gain of two. Again, good defensive recovery that time for Schoolcraft, because Hall is dangerous. He's shown his mobility. He's shown his kind of slick tendencies. And if he gets a little bit of momentum, he can really turn on the burners through to the second level. That time snuffed out a short gain of one, third down and nine. Coming up,
big play here for the Schoolcraft defense. Can they get the stop?
And equally big for the Constantine offense. They go reversal to the near sideline and advantage Schoolcraft defense. That play blown up from the beginning. Justin Hall again going opposite side to the near boundary. And he was stuffed after no gain. Fourth down and nine, coming
Wyckoff
up.
Wyckoff and Josh Zimmick on the stop there. This time it was, it looked to be Nick West on a quarterback keeper, at least, if not a pass play. But the Eagles blew it up.
They're going for it on fourth down. West under center fakes the handoff, and it played hot potato across the defensive line, complete though, over the middle.
Looks like they might be a yard short.
And yeah, I think you're right. They are a yard short. Constantine was lucky enough to complete a pass on that play.
That's what they call a pop pass. You don't see it a lot in a wing T offense, but it's designed to get just behind the linebackers. They step forward to make their first read. But like we said, Schoolcraft fortunate to have a defender there to make the stop. And now we'll get the ball turnover on downs.
And decent field position coming up for the Eagles from their own 26-yard line. Takes over on downs, first down and 10. Kakmaki set in motion behind the quarterback. The handoff is to Kakmaki to the far boundary. He did not get enough blockers up there. Tripped up at the line of scrimmage. Maybe a little bit of a loss. We have a Falcon on the field after that play.
Looks like it is Sawyer Brown on the stop for the Falcons, but it also looks like Mr. Brown is unfortunately, he's up now. Hobbling off the field.
Looks like he's favoring the right ankle as he hopped off on the right foot. Maybe twisted an ankle.
Maybe twisted, and it's not fun to twist an ankle, folks, I'll tell you that.
Give him a loss of one on the play. Second down and 11. Kakmaki in motion to the far side. Rolling out is Hurst. He's over the 30 to the 35 to the 40. And good clear out by the Schoolcraft offensive line for their quarterback who scampers all the way to the 45-yard line, marked to the 44. First down and 10, Schoolcraft.
It looks like Hurst there might be looking for Trevor Stoddard downfield, but there's too much green there to pass it up. Instead, he tucks it, runs it, makes a great effort, gets the first down Eagles.
The advantage of the offense that's run by Schoolcraft having the option, and being successful with the pass opens those kinds of plays up. Now first down and 10 from the 44-yard line. Straight run up the middle for a couple of yards. On first down.
So now we're on the stop again for the Falcons. Limiting
Cody Mickle trying to get in on the action as well.
Mickle to maybe a yard and a half gain.
Maybe we'll start to see him warm up a little bit with 3:56 remaining in this third quarter. Mickle behind Hurst. Oh, tipped and picked off. What an opportune interception for the Constantine Falcons.
From what it looks like here, that ball was tipped at the line of scrimmage by Alex Miller, who's in the neighborhood. I don't know if he was the one who tipped it, but he was definitely there.
And Aaron Petoskey, the sophomore linebacker, ready for a Christmas gift. He wrapped that baby up, and now new life for Constantine. Down 29-22 on the interception. They will take over. First down and 10, 3:44 remaining third quarter.
Looks like Montoya was shaken up on that play for the Falcons as well. So now they're going to shuffle the cards here and get a lineup in if they want. Montoya is the fullback in their wing T offense. Unlike many offenses where the fullback might be a very large player, Montoya is a very short and very a very fast fullback for the Constantine Falcons.
Sean Griffith wanted to talk about it, not necessarily expecting to have the football at this point, but and we've talked so much about the Schoolcraft passing game and how they've been able to utilize that to open their running game effectively. That time, the passing game burning Schoolcraft. Unfortunate, though, Tom Hurst, the pass, he had an open receiver. It was tipped at the line and picked off there by Eric Petoskey, the sophomore linebacker for Constantine. So they will have the ball out of the timeout, first down and 10. Now what are they going to do with it? Trailing by 7, they've really shown their cards offensively. They don't have a passing game, so they need to certainly continue to mix that backfield up and keep the Schoolcraft defense guessing.
Absolutely. If I'm Coach Griffith, I want Montoya to try and go as soon as he can, but if he can't, I'm hoping somebody will step up and carry the load at that fullback spot. But like you said, they have to be diverse with their play calling on the ground game since the passing game has just not been there.
One of the traditional lineup behind the quarterback, and they'll give it to Hurst, who charges up the middle. Or check that, it's the quarterback keeper. Fake it to Hurst, and they faked me out, but they did not fake out the Schoolcraft defense. Stopped them right at the line of scrimmage.
West keeping the ball, trying to make something happen over the right tackle. And a very convincing fake to the fullback there. Like you said, Carolyn, the Schoolcraft defense not buying it.
Having a hard enough time reading the numbers on the Constantine jerseys, and then they fake everybody out like that, but a gain of 1 on the quarterback keeper will bring up 2nd down and 9. Clock running at 3 minutes and change. They fake it again, go left side to Taylor Reese.
A different wrinkle there from the Falcons. They fake to the back side of the play and then a straight handoff to the left side of the formation to Reese. And they get about 2 yards with it.
Nick Kakmaki in on the stop for Schoolcraft. The gain of 2 will bring up 3rd down and 7. Continuing to go to that kind of, they've slowed the pace down. Has Constantine running to the sideline to get the play. Clock running at 2:19.
Different kind of counter there from the Constantine Falcons. Went to the tight end, Luke Mullendore, and unfortunately for the Falcons, it looks like Mullendore's a little shaken up.
Yeah, Mullendore took that hand off.
Here's what could be a cramp. I I don't intend on speculating, but that's what it looks like from here.
He's hobbling on the left leg. He's being helped off the field, and really the first time we've seen him in the mix on offense. He's made some contributions defensively tonight for Constantine. We've seen a couple of Falcons hobbling up after plays and really stretching out their hamstrings, kind of their calves in that area. So hopefully,
it's important this early in the season to stay hydrated. Most coaches will have you eating citrus, orange wedges, bananas, and then even some pickles at home after the game will help you from cramping up. So important to eat well and stay hydrated.
All right, big fourth down coming up from the 36-yard line of Schoolcraft. Handoff goes left side, and he's going to be awful close. I think he made that first down.
We kept talking about wrinkles tonight, and yet another one from the Falcons' backfield with the back side of the play. It takes what might be called traditionally, but then just a turnaround and a straight handoff up the left side.
The officials are going to measure it. The official timeout on the field. I thought the original mark gave them the first down, but they do want to...
Usually more often than not, they're right the first time, but in the interest of fairness, you got to get it right on the field.
And it is a first down for the Falcons by about a football's length.
That is a huge pickup because on the last drive, they had the completed pass to Mullendore, but they were unfortunately a yard short from keeping that drive alive. But now they have converted and... kept that Schoolcraft defense on the field. They're getting antsy, they're pacing, and if you're Constantine, you've got to hope that they're starting to run out of gas.
Drive stays alive for the Falcons. They had a first down and 10 from the Schoolcraft 33-yard line, 1 minute 28 seconds remaining in the third quarter. Take it to Hull and hand off up to Montoya, and he finds a hole over the 20-yard line. Good for more.
Montoya took that handoff at the fullback position, and it was 6-7 yards down the field before anybody knew he had the ball. And if I'm Coach Griffith, that's got to be an encouraging sign that my offensive line is executing and making the appropriate blocking assignments happen.
I hesitated on the first down call because they were moving the chains. Why weren't they moving the chains? They do, and the clock's running at 1:15, third quarter, first down and 10 from the Schoolcraft 20-yard line for Constantine. Hull goes right side on the pitch, finds a little hole up near the 15-yard line. And Hull continues to kind of stay beneath the surface. We really haven't seen him break out too much. Still waiting for that as 47 seconds tick away here in the third. But he's making those small hits.
Absolutely. You've got to want to have somebody you can lean on in a situation like that where you need yards no matter what the down is.
Second down and 6 from the Schoolcraft 16-yard line. Handoff is up the middle. Good for another couple of yards. The clock will continue to run. Hull on the carry once again.
Cack Mackey in on the stop for the Eagles there. Third and manageable, but looks like they're just going to let the clock wind out and let the third quarter end here at Davis Field.
Third and manageable coming up as we will start the fourth quarter, 29-22. The score, Schoolcraft in the lead as we will head into the fourth quarter after this timeout on 1660, The Fan.
You want your landscape to look perfect, to be the envy of the neighborhood. Then your first stop should be Romance Gardens. Right now, you'll save 25% on all remaining fruit trees, 33% on all perennial plants. Rose bushes are 20% off, excluding knockouts. Save 15% on all shade and ornamental trees, and 15% on male and female combination blue holly. Romance Gardens is on Shaver Road, just south of Center in Portage, or visit them online at romancegardencenter.com.
Miguel Cabrera, Max Scherzer, and the Detroit Tigers are fighting their way to yet another American League Central Division title. Don't miss a single score this season by texting SCORES to 80373. No need to fumble around the internet looking for that box score. We'll text it to you as soon as the game ends with the score and an interesting stat about the win-loss. SCORES is brought to you by CTS Telecom, your local connection to the world of voice, data, and internet. Text SCORES to 80373 to begin receiving your game scores today. Message and data rates apply. Text STOP to quit.
Fourth quarter about to get underway from Schoolcraft High School. Carolyn Binder and Robert Young's joining you on 1660 The Fan. Joe Barcola, our studio producer tonight. As we head into the fourth quarter, Constantine with a third down and two. They trail, though, 29-22. In good shape, though, on the 12-yard line of Schoolcraft. Sophomore quarterback Matt Hosbrook under center. The handoff goes to Montoya, or check that, Taylor Reif. And Reif was pushed aside after a minimal gain.
Josh Zimmick on the stop there for the Eagles. Huge play to come up and make the stop after recognizing what was happening from the Constantine offense.
Only one problem. There we go. They've corrected the clock. There was no time off the clock after that play. That could have been right. 11:49 remaining in the game. Fourth down and one coming up for Constantine.
Falcons offense still on the field.
Yep, Falcons lining up. The traditional wing T look, and they're going to keep it. So the quarterback keeper looks like he may have gotten it. Close either way. They're going to give it to him.
The headlines went over there instantly, came up, crossing his arms over his head to indicate stop the clock for a first down.
1 yard is all they needed. 1 yard is what they got. Now first down and goal from the 10-yard line.
Constantine's got to be encouraged by the way they've been able to stay on the field offensively without much of a passing game.
Hosbrook under center. The handoff goes up the middle to Hull, and he rumbles his way inside the 5-yard line.
Looks to be maybe a yard short of pay dirt.
Zach Mitchell in on the tackle for Schoolcraft. And they will mark him 1 yard shy of the goal line. Second down and goal coming up from the 1 yard line. 10:36 remaining in the game, and this score is monumental for Constantine. Three back look behind the quarterback, trying to punch it in right up the middle.
Looked to Montoya right up the gut there.
Nick Kekneke in on the stop of Montoya, and they stopped him short. Now third down and one.
Constantine's knocking on the door here, but unfortunately you're not going to fool a lot of people with a misdirection in the backfield.
Schoolcraft has had plenty of practice with that in this game. Now a third down and one. They go right side, a screen, and into the end zone. Touchdown, Constantine. That time they did throw a wrinkle at the defense, and it paid off.
Yeah, that usually those off-tackle plays are designed to go up the field, but Hull making a cut to the outside and just finding wide open spaces for a Falcons touchdown.
Justin Hull punches it in from 1 yard out, and here comes the question mark in the kicking game, because obviously Constantine's going to go for two, and they line up as such. Two would give them the lead. They run it left side, running around and being dropped at the 10-yard line.
A penalty marker down.
Yeah, penalty marker down on the field. Andres Montoya with no running room on that far boundary.
Check
the flag, though.
A hold or a block in the back, and it is indeed a hold, which is defined by the Eagles.
a hold whistled against Constantine, declined by the Eagles. And with 9:45 remaining in the game, the importance of the kicking game coming to the forefront as Constantine really forced to go for two with the way that they struggled with that part of their special teams. And now they trail 29-28.
The unfortunate thing for Constantine not getting the 2 points there to go ahead by one, and if there was a situation that come up later where they could potentially win the game on a field goal, that unfortunately doesn't happen. That's not in the equation at all tonight. You want all the points you can get, but a great play there by the Eagles defense to sniff out Hasbrook on the two-point attempt.
Constantine scores, but Schoolcraft is about to take over on offense. They own a one-point lead. Let's pause 10 seconds now for a station identification, pausing for an ID. This is high school football on 1660 The Fan.
The Huge Show, weekdays at 3 p.m. on 1660 WQLR Kalamazoo. 1660 The Fan.
Justin Hall punching it in for the Constantine Falcons. The two-point conversion, no good for Constantine, and they will kick it away, trailing 29-28. The bouncing kick is fielded by Trevor Stoddard, I believe, at the 20-yard line. And he kind of runs around, instead of north to south, goes east to west.
Vaughn went to make his cut to the outside, but unfortunately, teammate Phil Pelton went to lay a pretty good block on a Constantine defender, but unfortunately, it was right into Vaughn's path until the stop was made.
Decent field position still, though, for Schoolcraft as they take over first down and 10 from their own 28-yard line. We'll get a timeout as we see some personnel issues on the field for Schoolcraft.
I think, to be completely honest, I think Schoolcraft had 12 men on the field, so smart of Coach Haas to burn one and save the flag.
9:39 remaining in the game. Schoolcraft with possession of the football. They own a one-point lead, 29-28, over Constantine, the 61st matchup of the storied KBA Classic. And it's really, it's gone the depth of a couple of conferences as well. And so really holding true to the local rivalries that make high school football so special. And we're going to see some wrinkles in that in the upcoming years with the conference realignments and talking with some of the coaches across the different conferences. It's just interesting to get their takes on, you know, who's going where and who's going to play who and what's going to happen to some of these rivalries. I think no matter what, though, this is one of the ones that has to stay true throughout, you know, no matter what conference either of these teams end up in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. The KBA is going to go from 10 to 9 teams next year, which is going to open up some non-conference dates for these schools next year. And what I would personally like to see as a high school football fan myself is to get Mendon back on the schedule for both of these teams. Both of these teams have had a tremendous three-way rivalry with Mendon back in the old SJV days. But I know there's a lot of people that like to see those matchups again.
Yeah, you talk to anybody about these two teams, always throwing Mendon in the mix as well from the St. Joe Valley days. As we're back to action, Tom Hirsch with the handoff up the right side for a minimal gain.
Miller and Kokenau are in on the stop for the Falcons. Not the first time I've said those guys' names tonight. They have proven themselves worthy of the challenge.
Trying to roll Blake Zimmick into the offensive action. We'll send Schultz in motion. They go up the middle again to Zimmick, who falls forward for a couple of yard gain.
Linebacker Spencer Tepp, I think, snuck past the offensive lineman to make the play there for the Falcons. Still third and manageable for the Eagles.
Yeah, gain of three brings up third down and five. Clock running at 8:36. Okay, short conversion again. They pitch to Samia. Ripped up. Tripped up by Zach Sherman.
Zach Sherman, ladies and gentlemen, read that play like a textbook. There was no doubt in his mind, and he went right at Mr. Schultz there for the big defensive play.
Charlie Schultz was kind of revving the engines up after the pitch. He had some room, and so to make that tackle, and he tackled him by his feet, really tripped him up, and that was at least a first down for Schultz if he broke that.
If you're a defensive coach, you've got to be happy to see a tackle like that in an open space.
Snap on the punt is high. It's rolling at the 40-yard line of Constantine. We'll take a Schoolcraft bounce back near the 32-yard line.
Constantine got a little lucky there. That initial bounce on the punt was maybe 7 yards or less away from a Constantine player, and I definitely heard the poison call from the sideline. And what happens there on a poison call, if you're receiving a punt, you got to look up and find the ball. But that time it would have been too late, and had that hit the receiving team player, that could have been a big change of events.
They'll mark it at the 36-yard line, first down and 10 for Constantine, 7:40 remaining in the game. The Falcons trailing by one, 29-28. The handoff goes up the middle. They fake it to Justin Hull.
No bumps about that one for the Schoolcraft defense. The fake by Hall and Asbrook carrying out their fakes didn't attract any attention there.
Tic-Tac Mackey on the stop, gain of four. Will bring up second down and six from the 40-yard line of Constantine. Sending it up the middle and swarm near the 45-yard line. They might mark him back to the 44.
First contact by Josh Zimmick on the stop.
Justin Hall with the carry, and they'll mark him at the 44-yard line. Third down and two, another third down and manageable. I know it's only a one-point deficit, but the clock continuing to run, so this first down becomes a little more important. With 6:30 remaining in the game, Hull in backfield with Montoya. The handoff is to Reese, and he'll get enough for the first down.
Tag Mackey on the stop with some help. An important first down for Constantine to stay on the field and to keep that Schoolcraft defense out there. That Schoolcraft defense has been on the field more than the offense has been in the second half.
Yeah, the workhorses on this team for Schoolcraft, certainly the defense, but the offense rewarding them as well. They own the one-point lead with 6 minutes and 6 seconds remaining in the game. The defense has to hold tough here, though, with Constantine driving at the 47-yard line. We got a fumble on the snap, and it looks like Schoolcraft is on it. They are. Schoolcraft recovers the fumble, a bad snap by the Constantine center, and falling on it is the entire Schoolcraft defensive line. That's just the break that they needed. And you said it, as soon as there's a football free, those guys are trained to just go at it like a buffet, and they do so. They're picking the ball up, and now in Constantine territory, 48-yard line, 5:53 remaining in the game. 1 point looks a little bit bigger if you're the Constantine Falcons right now.
Zimmick and the power eye run to the right, going nowhere.
First play from scrimmage. Stop short, Blake Zimmick. They've used him a couple of times. He's a big guy. I don't have the measurements on him, but he seems as if he can get some momentum in the backfield, get him a couple of good blocks, and he could be off to the races just as easily as any of these other guys. We've heard a lot from Nick Kakmaki, of course, Charlie Schultz in on some action, and Tom Hurst, when he gets those blocks, he is not afraid to run, and that's the dangerous thing to see, the ability to have a running quarterback. We had an injured Constantine Falcon on the field, a brief injury timeout. Back to action, second down and 10 from the 47-yard line. They call it no gain on that first play from scrimmage. Blake Zimmick trying for the sweep. They'll send Schultz in motion, fake the pitch to Schultz, open it up, pass complete, off to the races. 7-5, touchdown, super fast, and what a catch by Brennan Vaughn out in the open space. That quick little pop set up by the fake pitch, and that was played out to perfection by the senior quarterback, Tom Hurst. And now some breathing room for Schoolcraft. 5:09 remaining in the game and pending this extra point. And this is where it becomes huge, that it was 29-28 before that touchdown. 35-28, so that's already 7 points. Looks like they're going to send the kicking unit on. Brennan Vaughn, who just caught that touchdown strike, will get a flag before the kick.
Far sideline. This first attempt is not going to count, I don't think.
Offsides whistled against Constantine. He kicked it, though. They threw the flag well before the snap.
I thought I was able to hear a whistle over the Schoolcraft students and marching band, who are in an absolute frenzy here. Up 7, 5 and 9 to play here in the fourth.
Offsides whistled against Constantine. It looks like they're going to send the kicking unit back on the field or check that. Well, Hurst is checking in. We'll see what the formation is when they come out.
Could go for two here.
Yeah, they hypothetically could with the extra yards, and they're going to.
Power eye again.
Power eye, Hurst under center. Hand off up the middle. And it is good. So they're already up by 7. Add 2 to that, I'm not good at math, but a certain advantage now for Schoolcraft, 37-28, 9 points is the deficit from 1, and so when you look at a 1-point deficit, maybe not a big deal, and you got the turnover, and then the perfect strike from Tom Hurst to Brennan Vaughn, he was off for the races. Now all of a sudden we're looking at a brand new ball game for the home team, up 9, 37-28.
One was the left side flanker in that formation. They had another receiver split on the line of scrimmage to the right, and there's three backs behind the line of scrimmage in the standard belly option formation. But Vaughn was able to run an excellent slant route. He got past Mullendore in the Falcons' defensive unit, and there was nobody else to even get close to him once he turned on the afterburner.
You got to wonder, we saw Mullendore kind of cramp up earlier in this ball game, if that had anything to do with Vaughn beating him as badly as he did. But you got to give credit to Vaughn. He's a quick kick.
Yeah, you've got to execute, and if you can execute, if you're able to make the play, you're going to take it no matter what the situation is for the opposing player.
Brennan Vaughn doing a little bit of everything late in the fourth quarter for Schoolcraft. He just scored the touchdown. He was in on the extra point. They ended up going for 2 on the penalty. Now about to kick this one away. Some logistics, some housekeeping going on the field before we get the kickoff. We're set to go. 5:09 remaining in the game. Schoolcraft leads 37-28. A booming end over end and into the end zone and through. And the first time we've seen that from either team on a kickoff. We've seen Brendan Vaughn kick field goals, so you know that he's got the ability to put the ball up like that. That was pro style right there.
Absolutely. The ball went 5 yards into the end zone, folks, and it was not touched at all. But regardless, per NFHS rules, it's an automatic touchback, and the Falcons will get it at their 20-yard line right between the hashes.
First down and 10. Constantine in some trouble. 5:09 remaining in the game. They've got it at their own 20-yard line after that booming kick from Brennan Vaughn.
Griffith here. I want to see if my kids can respond.
Run up the middle, getting some steam, but dragged down at about the 27-yard line.
Falcons starting right off with the counter, and as they sort out the players, hard to tell who's down there. And now they go with the hurry-up, looking at those wristbands.
Yep, going back to the hurry-up with 4:46 remaining in the game. Three-back look behind the quarterback. Pass Brook. The handoff goes right side, trying to cut up the middle.
Penalty marker's late.
Yeah, late penalty flag. Early indication is a personal foul whistled against Schoolcraft. Certainly, if you're just carrying ass, you don't want to see that. That's up again, a 9-point lead, 4:33 remaining, and personal fouls are going to hurt you down the stretch.
We weren't able to see what happened from our vantage point here at Davis Field and Schoolcraft, but if I'm Coach Hass, I've got to be upset with what happened, but my saving grace is I do have a 9-point lead.
9-point lead for Schoolcraft, 37-28, but a first down, a free first down for Constantine, now up to their 44-yard line. Mixing things up again, going right side are the Falcons. The Bets sniffed out immediately.
Carter Fowler, 5'9", 165, in on the stop.
Starting to get call consistently into the action. I think they're going to continue to do that as Hall drives opposite field but is dragged down right at the line of scrimmage. No gain. Third down and 9 coming up now for the Falcons, and this is danger zone for the visiting Constantine Falcons. They need a first down, or you can pretty much write this one off. I hate to say that, with 3 minutes to go, you like to think there's a lot more. Take a handoff, and that they went for the pass. There was some miscommunication in the backfield.
Big time broken play there for the Falcons. The quarterback, Hasbrook, reversed out of the stance one way, and he had two guys coming at him, one of which was a guard. He was lucky to get the pass away, but an unfortunate series of events for Constantine.
Fourth down and 9, the offense staying on the field with the ball at the 45-yard line of Constantine. This is the game right here.
I haven't seen a screen pass yet.
Robert calling the screen pass. They get it set up, but nobody out there for a reception. He's close to the first down out of bounds. I think he might have stepped out a little short, though.
Hasbrook, play action pass, just a straight drop back play action, but not able to get the first down with his leg, but he got short, and the Schoolcraft Eagles are starting to smell it, Carolyn.
Yeah, the crowd is rising up. The offense trots onto the field, and the defense getting high fives from the coaching staff here on the near sideline. Schoolcraft will take a first down and 10 from their own 48-yard line. 3:10 remaining in the game, and the home team with a 9-point lead, 37-28. 28.
If you're Schoolcraft here, if you can get a couple first downs, you might just be able to salt this one away.
That's what they're looking for, but also keeping it on the ground. Slithering up for a couple of yards with is Josh Zimmick, and we'll get our first timeout.
Kind of bumped into his own lineman there. Yeah, Travis Wyckoff.
And burning a timeout is Constantine. 2:58 remaining in the game. And if you're Sean Griffith, start to play a clock game. But really, again, you're resting on your defense. And even with the one-point lead at halftime, thought that you were doing that a little too much. And we see the consequence, at least with the as far as the turnovers go, and how that's really affecting them. And, I mean, really, right now, the difference, though, is the kicking game, because had Constantine been able to kick some field goals instead of maybe going here, going for two there, and they could have kept momentum, at least that part of the momentum, on their side, and that really didn't happen, then all of a sudden those turnovers become magnified, and we see the result here with Schoolcraft leading 37-28.
Absolutely.
And with the football.
If you've got the clock on your side and the football, you want to work it a little bit, but you don't want to work yourself out of it, and that may have been the case tonight for the Constantine Falcons.
Second down and 10 out of the timeout. The pitch goes right side. We'll get a flag.
This might be coming back for a hold. We'll see what the officials have to say about it. It is just, you know, hold against the Eagles. Not what you want to have happen there.
Trevor Stoddard on the run. First time we've called his name from the backfield anyway. And that may have had something to do with it with the new running back.
Officials are definitely going to look, especially for a holding infraction, as we saw there. If the infraction helps the advancement of the football, they're going to call it every time. That's definitely what they're going to look for. Does the infraction aid in the play?
Clock running at 2:50. Couple of receivers split out to either side of the quarterback. Hurst sends it up the middle and charging forward. Blake Zenick and some extracurriculars after he was pushed forward for a few yards.
A definite commotion from the far sideline. We've got at least one or two assistant coaches taking a few steps onto the field, unable to see what the commotion was about, though.
Third down and 14 coming up. A couple of yard gain for Zenick. And interesting that Coach Haft's getting some other guys involved in the backfield, feeling confident with the 9-point lead, 2:16 remaining. Send the man in motion, and handoff goes up the middle to just over the original line of scrimmage to the 50-yard line.
Falcons are going to burn their final timeout with 2:05 remaining in hopes of, if I'm Coach Griffith, I'm sending the punt block. I'm sending 9-10 guys to try and block this punt.
Blake Zimmick on the carry to just over the original line of scrimmage at the 50-yard line. And buckle your seatbelts, because this is going to get interesting. You know that Constantine has the size. Do they have the speed to pressure the upcoming punts of Brennan Vaughn? And the other key is going to be the snap. As always, we've seen a couple of high snaps on punt attempts for Vaughn. He's fielded them both just fine, and we know that he can catch a football. We've seen him do that, run it in for a touchdown. So there's a lot of moving pieces to this upcoming punt for Schoolcraft with 2 minutes, 5 seconds remaining. On the other flip side of the coin, while 1 point looks humongous when you're turning the ball over, if you're Constantine, you force a turnover here, and 9 points doesn't look so bad anymore. So you get some pressure on the punt, possibly get a punt block. And again, this is a whole new ballgame with 2 minutes, 5 seconds to go.
They don't send any.
That's surprising. And the snap is perfect.
They're going to bounce, though.
And it'll pop
there. Yes, it will.
The line drive puck from Brennan Vaughn runs through the end zone. And so it's
maybe a net 30 to 35-yard punt there with the ball going into the end zone for a touchback.
They call a 50-yard punt, so with the 20 yards coming out, that will be, I'm not good at math, but about 30 yards on the net.
30 net.
First and 10 from the 20-yard line coming up for Constantine, and with 1:54 remaining in the game, they've certainly got to figure out a way, chunk off some yardage quickly, and we'll probably see that hurry-up offense continue as they send the man in motion. The single back behind the quarterback goes up the middle and is stopped immediately.
West drop back. Looked like he was going to pass, even coaxed a warning from some of the fans on the home sideline here, but it was just a handoff up the middle.
Justin Hall on the carry. Zach Mitchell in on the stop for Schoolcraft.
No more timeouts for the Falcons. Keep that in mind.
Single back again. Goes for the pass, and West is stopped. Back at the 10-yard line. What a stop there.
Cody Mickle coming from the backside there, and that was West blindsided, and he just could not see him at all coming unblocked.
Cody Mickle, the catalyst for the offense, really. I'm calling them, again, the dark horse for Schoolcraft, getting it done defensively there. Clock under a minute, 9 points the deficit for Constantine. They go to the passing game again on third down and 15, incomplete to the far sideline. Now fourth down and 15, and the home crowd is smelling this win.
Folks, the last time Schoolcraft won back-to-back games in the regular season on this rivalry was 2001 and 2002, and it's for the Eagles fans out there, that's got to bring back some memories. Schoolcraft put together a 14-0 season with a 26-8 win over McBain in the Division VI state finals that year, a magical state finals run that year.
Claire, 47 seconds away from two consecutive regular season victories over Constantine. Another incomplete pass. The ball will be turned over on downs. And that'll just about do it for this ball game. You got to imagine the class of both these head coaches and the respect that both these head coaches have for each other. I think Cass is just going to sit on this football.
Absolutely. There's zero reason to advance the ball any further. The one thing I can say from experience that the football programs in the KVA pride themselves on is being good sports. You leave it between the whistles, and you don't take any cheap shots at your opponent.
Victory formation for Schoolcraft.
They'll have to snap it once more.
Tom Hurst takes the knee, clock under 30 seconds, and the students starting to gather on the track to our right about the 30-yard line.
I think if I remember right, they've got a big victory bell to go ring down here at Schoolcraft.
That'll come up in about 15 seconds as Hurst takes the knee, and that'll be it. Your final score from Schoolcraft, the Eagles, 37, Constantine, 28. And what a game for the home team. Two consecutive regular season victories for Schoolcraft. The last time that happened, 2001,
2002, some great years for the Schoolcraft football Eagles, winning the state title in 2001. These football players are absolutely fired up about that win. It is only week two, folks, but with that win, they are still in the league title hunt.
Just week number two, but a number of intriguing matchups going on around the area. We'll get into that in our post-game coverage. In the meantime, our final score from Schoolcraft High School, 37-28, a victory for the home team over Constantine. We'll have our post-game coverage after this timeout on 1660 The Fan.
The weather can change by the second in southwest Michigan. From severe thunderstorms to heavy winds, it's important to know where the weather is centralized. Don't be in the dark any longer. Text the word weather to the phone number 80373. You'll now receive a daily forecast every morning and severe weather alerts when they break. Just text weather to 80373 for a daily forecast and severe weather alerts. Brought to you by First Community Federal Credit Union. Message and data rates apply.
Meyer is once again proud to present live high school sports on 1660 The Fan. Make sure you stop by Meyer for all of your tailgating needs. From all of the meat for the grill, to salads, to vegetables, to desserts, to everything you'll need to serve that food upright, Meyer has it all, and at prices that you'll love, because at Meyer, the math works in your favor. Make sure you stop by Meyer to check out the M Perks Club and tune into live high school sports during 2013, brought to you by Meyer.
In times of joy and moments of grief, we are there. When the world looks for truth, broadcasters come through, even when all else fails. Today, with more ways than ever to experience the moments that transform our lives, Americans still choose broadcast radio and television more than all other media combined. And our web and social sites are among the most visited sites in our daily lives.
Bring you the video. Do not go outdoors here in Ocean City right now.
When important moments happen, both big and small, we're the first informers to history. We are the local broadcasters of radio and television, reaching more people, touching more lives. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station. In times of joy and moments of grief, we are there. When the world looks for truth, broadcasters come through, even when all else fails. Today, with more ways than ever to experience the moments that transform our lives, Americans still choose broadcast radio and television more than all other media combined. And our web and social sites are among the most visited sites in our daily lives.
Bring you the video. Do not go outdoors here in Ocean City right now.
When important moments happen, both big and small, we're the first informers to history. We are the local broadcasters of radio and television, reaching more people, touching more lives. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
If you could give your child a shot that would prevent cancer later in life, would you do it?
Of course.
In a heartbeat.
I wish.
The HPV vaccine can prevent many types of cancers, including cervical cancer, and it's been tested and ruled safe and effective by the FDA. The vaccine works best if given at the age of 11 or 12, but can be given up to the age of 26. Not all cancers can be prevented by the vaccine. But each year, 33,000 cases of preventable cancers are diagnosed in men and women in the U.S. If these people could go back and have the HPV vaccine, do you think they would?
In a heartbeat. I wish.
For more information, visit michigan.gov/HPV or call 1-800-922-6266. Sponsored by the Michigan Department of Community Health and the Michigan Association of Broadcasters.
I'm a sheep, I admit it. Not in everything, but in driving, I generally follow the accepted behavior and speed of those traveling around me. Hi, this is Bruce from Bruce's Truck and Auto Accessories and Rhino Linings of Mattawan. Because everyone else is doing it seemed to be a good logical excuse as a kid, so I can just imagine the nice police officer saying, "So, Bruce, just because everyone else is driving 10 miles an hour over the speed limit, passing in the right lane over a cliff, does that mean you would too?" I would have to plead the fifth. Where I'm going with this is cruise controls are a great way to maintain the speed you choose and not follow the wrong crowd. We install the Rostra all-electronic, no-vacuum cruise control. They are very accurate and a great way to watch your speed. Call us at 668-4511 for an appointment or stop on in. We are a quarter mile north of I-94 at exit 66 in Mattawan. Bruce's Truck and Auto Accessories and Rhino Linings. Better quality, better service. Better get to Bruce's.
For some of us, gambling can make us lose more than a few dollars. We may lose our jobs, lose our homes, and slowly but surely we'll lose the people we love. We're at a loss as to why we can't control our gambling. We lose years struggling with an addiction we didn't even know we had. For free confidential help, call the Michigan Problem Gambling Helpline to speak with a counselor. Call 1-800-270-7117. It's time to win your life back. Sponsored by the Michigan Department of Community Health and the Michigan Association of Broadcasters.
I remember the moment. I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
Several of us were working to rescue a family. The house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Because I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
Be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Michigan National Guard, aired by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Carolyn Binder and Robert Young's rejoining you from Schoolcraft High School. This is the Meyer post-game show. Meyer, where the math always works in your favor, and tonight the math working in the favor of the home team, the Schoolcraft Eagles, with a 37-28 victory over their conference rivals, the Constantine Falcons. With the win, Schoolcraft lifts their record to 2-0. Constantine falls to 1-1, and this was really a battle of wills from the first whistle to the final down, because Constantine took the early lead, and it was Schoolcraft that really was, they had their wrinkles in there on offense, but it was the Constantine defense that was continuing to give their team the ball. Teams traded some turnovers, and then it was really, it seemed that even though they traded turnovers, it favored the home team, who was able to figure some things out going into the half. They trailed by one, did Schoolcraft 22-21, but it seemed like in that second half, this was a whole nother football team for Terry Haas.
Absolutely. I think, Carolyn, what made the difference tonight was Schoolcraft's ability to throw the ball. You can stretch the field vertically, especially if you throw it successfully on first downs. But I think as diverse as the Falcons were tonight with the wing T running game, and if they're doing it right, it's hard to stop. But I think that's where the difference was tonight, and the Eagles' ability to throw the ball and keep those defensive backs very honest.
Time now to look at some game stats. Schoolcraft with the 37-28 win over Constantine tonight. You mentioned that Schoolcraft, the difference really opening up that passing game, and that's got to be a glaring stat on that sheet.
Absolutely. Schoolcraft led on the ground, believe it or not, by quarterback Tom Hurst with 86 yards rushing. Cack Mackey right behind him with 70 yards rushing. And that, ladies and gentlemen, does not include the efforts from Charlie Schultz and Josh Zimmick on the ground tonight. Hurst also getting it done through the air, 5 of 7 passing for 87 yards. Hurst accounted for 4 touchdowns total, both on the ground and through the air. Brendan Vaughn tallied up 47 yards receiving and Stoddard with 25. Defensively for the Eagles, Cack Mackey and Fowler both had 12 stops apiece.
So those are the game stats for tonight's 37-28 victory for the home team, Schoolcraft Eagles, and a little celebration, I think, to be had, because staring them down, coming up a road game at Olivet for the Eagles, so you take some solace in the fact that you were able to battle back and everything that went down in this game over a very worthy opponent in Constantine. You come out with the 37-28 victory, but not too much solace looking at your schedule next week.
No, Olivet plays very well at home. They have a very recently new football facility. They're very proud of it. But I think if your coach has in the Eagles traveling to Olivet over there in Eaton County, you've got that in the back of your mind. You're going to have a great surface to play on. It's a artificial surface, much like at Waldo Stadium. Gone are the days of playing in a swampy, muddy field at Olivet.
So Schoolcraft traveling to Olivet. Constantine will be hosting Vermont Maple Valley next week, and we will be in Mattawan for another rematch of a close playoff game from last year. Portage Central traveling to Mattawan, and we'll bring you that broadcast right here on 1660 The Fan starting at 6:45. And you talked about Waldo Stadium. Speaking of Waldo Stadium, they're opening their 75th season at Waldo tomorrow as the Broncos, headed by first-year head coach P.J. Fleck, taking on Nicholls State. And there's a lot to be said about that football team as well as they enter the P.J. Fleck era in Kalamazoo.
Absolutely, Carolyn. Made the trip to East Lansing a week ago at the invitation of some very close people to me, and what I admired, what Coach Fleck was able to do, and he keeps talking about it, is their how.
Yeah.
And I thought they showed tremendous grit, not only offensively trying to run the ball, although they weren't able to establish a running game against a very, very talented Michigan State defense. They came in and they competed, and I was very impressed at how they competed defensively, although the score didn't turn out the way Bronco fans would have wanted it to.
Also, Tom, University Night, that's become a storied tradition in Kalamazoo to get the community connected with the university and the football team. Those festivities will happen starting at 4 o'clock. I encourage you to get over to Robert J. Bob Baseball Field and enjoy some of the festivities before the 7 p.m. kick. If you cannot make it out to Waldo Stadium tomorrow night, if you're not near to Kalamazoo, you can catch all of the action on FM 96.5 WZOX, the flagship station for Bronco Athletics. Robin Hook will have the call alongside John Creek starting at 6 o'clock. That's just part of the football action happening this weekend. Michigan State kicking off with South Florida. The pregame is technically in the morning hours, but it's a noon kick, I believe, with South Florida. And that happens on AM 590 WKZO. And finally, I think the one that most history buffs and football fans are waiting for, Michigan and Notre Dame. And that's certain to have some implications later in the season as well. You can hear that starting at 7 o'clock right here on 1660 The Fan. And, of course, the National Football League has kicked off their season last night. Peyton Manning helping me out because he is my fantasy quarterback, throwing for tying an NFL record, 7 touchdowns. So, you know, I went to bed because I've had to be up at 3 o'clock in the morning to help out with the morning show, and I wake up and I've got 66 points for my fantasy team, so not doing too bad. But the Lions hoping to help their cause moving through the Reggie Bush era, I'm going to call it, and hopefully he makes some contributions on Sunday as they battle the Minnesota Vikings. You can hear that game right here on 1660 The Fan. That's going to do it here from Schoolcraft High School. My thanks to both the Schoolcraft and Constantine Athletic Departments for all the stats and notes for tonight's game. And again, thanks to Coach Hass for joining us in the pregame. For my producer, Joel Varicola, and my broadcast partner, Robert Youngs, I'm Carolyn Biner, saying one more time the final score, Schoolcraft with the 37-28 victory here tonight at home. The preceding broadcast has been a production of 1660 The Fan, High School Live, and Midwest Communications. We'll see you next week right here on 1660 The Fan.
You've been listening to Live High School Sports on your home for sports in Kalamazoo, 1660 The Fan. Tonight's broadcast was brought to you by Meyer, where the math works out in your favor. By Bruce's Truck and Auto in Mattawan. By Edward Rose and Sons. Go to edwardrose.com today. And by Romance Gardens. High quality, low prices, and great customer service. This has been a presentation of the Michigan High School Athletic Association and Midwest Communications.